Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Get charged up in His presence. Sing songs to Him and bless His holy name. He's so worthy of our praise. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to John chapter 5? It's a good idea to bring your Bible to church. I know we live in this electronic age and we have the big Bible behind me. But it's a good idea to bring your own Bible and work in the Word. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." The Amplified Bible reads, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has worked even until now. He has never ceased working.'" He is still working, and I, too, must be at divine work. God's always working. He hasn't ceased working. Maybe that's the mentality here tonight. Conviction of some hearts, some minds, that God's taking a break, or taking a year off, or a month off, or a week off, or a day off. He's worked till now. He has never ceased working. He is still working. Jesus, too, about divine work, divine labor, and we know that the promised Holy Spirit, we know He's working. Endeavoring to work. Even in this room tonight, look at the harvest the Lord's labor has produced. Think of our families, we think of our homes, we think of ourselves, the labor that the Lord's work has produced, that His Word has produced, that His Spirit has produced. I find such comfort in the fact that God was and is and will continue to work as long as this life remains, that He hasn't taken a break, that He hasn't taken a day off, or an hour off, or a minute off. The word work here is to toil as a task, occupation, to be engaged in or with, commit, labor, minister about, to make gains by trading, do business, to work for, earn by working, to acquire. You think of what the Lord's labor has acquired in this room tonight. Pulled us from the pit, set us free. He's still working in us. We know His Spirit is alive in us, longing to bring us in to the image of Christ, the great design and the purpose of God. He's endeavoring to lead us. He's always working. Our text in the voice reads, "My Father is at work, so I too am working." Now, as far as I know, God only took one day off. One vacation day, one day of rest. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because He rested from all His work which God had created and made." Even then, when you're responsible for all things, is there ever truly a day off? You see, God's managing the whole world. He's managing humanity. He's working. And you think of the labor, the effort that He puts into some lives, and yet there's so little fruit, and it's not the sower, but it's the life that's the problem. It's the person. It's the unregenerate nature. It's the corrupt nature, it's the bad heart that doesn't want to respond to God. It's not that His labor or His sowing or His watering has a flaw in it, but it's the ground. It's the person. God is laboring. He's laboring for you. Toiling. Seeking to attain. John chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Number one tonight, the living water is stirred. Here is a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, I don't know what you're going through tonight, but here's a man with an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus sees him stretched out by the pool and knows that he's been in this condition for a long, long time, as the scripture tells us. This man's hope was in water, an angel, and a man. Hope in water. Hope in an angel that would stir the water, and hope in the kindness of a man, one that would help him in the water at the right time. The waters of Bethesda had seen many people healed. This wasn't a hopeless process. But I wonder how many times had that water been stirred by the angel, and there the man lay helpless with no one to put him in the pool. We don't know. John 5:7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." How many people had this man witnessed healed? We don't know. How many times had he been stepped over and seen someone else healed? Though he wait. We don't know. What we do know is that this man did, in fact, keep getting stepped over. But the helplessness of this man's situation, his reality, brought about a stirring that was far greater than the stirring of the pool that he lay beside. The helplessness of this man's situation, his reality, caused the living water to be stirred. Jesus himself stirred and moved to call out to the man and ask, "You want to be made well?" Jesus is stirred and he says to him, "Do you want to be made well? Rise, take up your bed and walk." And verse 9 reads, "And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked." Can we believe tonight that the helplessness of our situation, our reality, the impossibility, causes the living water to be stirred? Number two tonight, Are we waiting on an angel and a man? Jesus is right there in front of this man and he asks, do you want to be made well? And this man responds, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. This man was waiting on an angel and a man, someone to help him into the pool. Would Jesus help this man into the pool? Would he wait with this man for the angel, the stirring, and then play the man? I believe the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Sometimes we can be waiting on an angel and a man when the living water is reaching out to us. We're waiting on some process when the living water is reaching out to us, when Jesus himself is reaching out to us. But we're waiting on this process because we've been there for I don't know how long, waiting on an angel to stir the water and a man to help us in. Now, we're not downplaying the pool of Bethesda tonight. This was a miracle work of God. But we are focusing on the fact that the living water was reaching out to the man. That Jesus was reaching out to the man. Is it possible that Jesus Christ reaches out to people? He is standing right there in front of them with the power to heal them and set them free from their bondage and affliction, and they continue to wait on an angel and a man. Think about it. Number three, if Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk on the Sabbath, just do it. Imagine if the story read, well, yeah, of course I want to be made well, but I'm waiting on this process and therefore, can you wait with me and just help me out? Wait with me for the angel and the stirring and then help me in. But the command came, rise, take up your bed and walk. John 5, 10 and 11, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. The voice reads, must you be reminded that it is the Sabbath? You're not allowed to carry your mat today. Jesus Christ touches this man's life in a miraculous way, and we have a group of people focused on a mat. We have a group of people focused on a bed. Jesus has just moved in a miraculous way. This man lying there for 38 years. I wonder if they've seen this man lie there for 38 years. And he's miraculously healed. And they're worried about a mat. That's all they can think about. What in the world's going on here? Jesus declared that the Sabbath was made for the benefit of all mankind, not a day of legalistic rules that turned the day into a burden as the Pharisees had done. Let's be clear here. That's not saying that we don't have to go to church and so on. Let's not look for loopholes. That thinking is foolishness. But it's so twisted, the understanding of the Sabbath, that even today in places in the world, there's a place in the world that they hold to the Sabbath in the Pharisaical tradition. There the elevators in hotels, believe it or not, run nonstop, stopping at every floor so that the people don't have to push a button, work, therefore violating the Sabbath. You say, well, that's crazy. But it's happening. This man's healed in a miraculous way. And these guys here are concerned about him carrying his mat. That's all they can think about. We know that the practice of Jesus was that he would never let anyone perish or starve on the Sabbath. God intended this day to be a day of blessing to men. We heard about this a little bit this morning. The message reads, the Jews stopped the healed man and said, it's a Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules. I give the guy a break, 38 years laying there. He gets healed. And you're on him for carrying his mat? I wonder if it's like that sometimes. God just moved in a miraculous way. The living waters reached out. Living water is stirred, and this man gets up. These men, instead of rejoicing at the miracle, were wincing and whining over a mat. And for this reason, they persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Heaven forbid that we wince and whine when we should be rejoicing. My Father is working straight through, even on the Sabbath. So am I. God's always working. Imagine if he took the Sabbath day off. Maybe that's why some people don't come to church. They think God's taking the day off. I don't know. Imagine if he took the Sabbath day off. Imagine if he took tomorrow off. Imagine if he just wrote it into the calendar and let you know that every Tuesday it's his day off. Or when it's a real hard day, it's my day off. I haven't had a holiday since way back. Think about it tonight. Always working. Carrying that weight, that load. He's carrying your load. He's carrying your weight if you've given it to him. He's working every day on your behalf. He works a lot harder than we do. It doesn't matter what job you got here tonight. He works a lot harder than you do. Imagine carrying the weight of the whole world on your shoulders, responsible for every person. All the prayers prayed in one day across the planet. All the people asking for things, trying to get things, worried about different churches. Are they holding to the truth? Are they not? I mean, you think of all the prayers, all the stuff that he has to worry about. God is always working. The Sabbath is a day of divine work. Provision, guidance, wisdom, understanding, healing, and the miraculous. I just want to ask tonight, what's the need? What's the condition? What's the infirmity? Anyone here tonight laying beside the pool, waiting on an angel and a man, waiting for the water to be stirred? Has it been 38 years? You see, no matter the count, hope is not lost. And that's what time tries to do to us. We look at it as delay, but God is perfect in his timing. And if the answer doesn't come, then we trust his sovereignty. But no matter how long we've been waiting, if it's been 38 minutes, 38 days, 38 weeks, 38 months, 38 years, and we've been lying there with this infirmity, this condition, and whatever it is, hope is not lost. The living water is stirred. You see, we may recognize and feel the strain of our helplessness, but we are not hopeless. I might look at my situation laying beside the pool and realize that I've been stepped over time and time and time and time again because I can't get myself in the water. But here's the beauty of it. The living water came to the man. The living water approached the man and called out, "Do you want to be made well?" This man knew, he recognized, he felt the strain, believe me, he felt the strain of his helplessness. But it wasn't hopeless. Let's have the worship team return. You know, you read stories like this and perhaps you just fly through it. Or maybe you start to ask your own questions like, why didn't Jesus show up earlier? I don't know. We can't answer that. But he does all things well. And when he does arrive, let's not miss the miracle because we are waiting on a system of how this is supposed to happen. How this is supposed to go down and play out. Let that speak however it needs tonight. You see, sometimes he shows up and we are waiting on this system. It's so ingrained in us, this system of how it has to work. How it has to go down. This is the process. The process I've been waiting on for so long. Well, what if the Lord comes and he just wants to bypass that process? Are we okay with that? Hey, Jesus, you can't heal me today. It's a Sabbath. You just asked me to violate the... I'm going to get in trouble. These guys, they're going to whine about the mat. Rise, take up your bed and walk. God is working today and he's working tonight and he'll be working tomorrow. Anyone here tonight lying by the edge of the pool? You see, I don't know what has you there, but we do know who will meet you there. I know that tonight in this place he's calling out to the sick. Do you want to be made well? He's calling out to the disillusioned. Do you want to be made well? He's calling out to the addict tonight. Do you want to be made well? He's calling out to the weak. He's calling out to the one afflicted by depression. He's calling out to your marriage tonight. Do you want to be made well? He's calling out to the sinner tonight. Do you want to be made well? What's the infirmity? Are we waiting on some system, some way we think this has to go down? Now, I'm going to say something concerning marriage. I'm not downplaying counseling. It's fantastic. But, you know, God can heal your marriage like that in his presence. But, see, we think it takes some system all the time. This is what we've got into. We just need to be touched by his presence. Touched by his power. We need to behold the living water. We need to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We need to wait in his presence. If people would start to wait in his presence again, like the days of old, I believe many of these things would just be gone. We wouldn't need as much counseling and as much self-help and all this stuff because his presence is more than enough. God didn't say, my presence isn't enough. But get the book. Now the Bible, get. Again, I'm not downplaying these other things. I'm not downplaying the pool of Bethesda tonight. What I'm simply saying is when the living water's reaching out, let's not miss it. I'm not downplaying counseling tonight. I'm not downplaying different groups in the church. I'm a part of different groups in the church. That's not the point. But what I'm saying tonight is when the living water is reaching out. See, there was healing in the process of the angel coming to stir the water. There was healing in that process. There's healing in programs. There's healing in these other things. But let's not miss it when the living water is reaching out. I hope you can receive that tonight. God's always working when we're sleeping, when we're hurting, when we're learning, when we're running, when we're sitting, when we're struggling, when we're dying, when we're rising. God's always working when we are crawling, when we are longing, when we are sighing, when we are flying. God's always working. It seems that when the water was stirred, one person got healed. The angel came, and that's what we read. The one would step in and get healed. But how many know when the living water is stirred, the whole place can receive it? The whole place can receive the breakthrough. The whole place. Let's stand tonight. If you remember only one thing, I hope it's this, that when you leave this place and you wake up tomorrow, you remember that God's always working. No matter where you find yourself, what situation, what dark alley, if you're on the mountain or in the valley, that you remember that God's always working. That if it's tragedy or it's triumph, you'll remember that God's always working. that he doesn't take a day off. He's our very present help in time of need. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. We can trust in him. He shows up right on time. He has perfect timing, the Bible says. God's always working. Sometimes we forget that, but I pray tonight that that reality would sink in, that God's always, always working, and that we trust that. We're just going to lift this up. If you feel you need to respond, the altar's always open. There's not a specific call tonight, but we've heard the word, and I pray that it changes our lives. Maybe it's that simple, simple phrase, and we forgot it, but the reality is that God is always working, no matter what we see or face. Thank you, Lord.